some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Monday afternoon as the sun shines brightly in the Boston area as it is playoff madness time in this region. No better time of year for the playoffs to really take center stage in the heart of Boston sports, and as well as the fact that the Celtics and Bruins play at least one home playoff game this week. Obviously, the Celtics, they'll be playing on Wednesday night at home in Game 5. Hopefully, that is not a elimination game for the Boston Celtics. And the Bruins will be playing in a Game 6 at home. Hopefully, it is not an elimination game for the Bruins either. But that remains to be seen as to how it all will play out. And I do think that this is something that we will talk about at length on this program here on 91.5 FM WMFO, which is the home of extensive Bruins and Celtics playoff coverage as well. Now, let's talk about something that has been meaning to be talked about for a while now. And for obvious reasons, we haven't done a full show in quite some time. And now that we're back to doing two-hour programs on Mondays, I think it's imperative that we talk about the Boston Red Sox on some stuff. We're not going to spend the entire second hour on the Red Sox, because I do want to get back to the talking about a little bit about the Bruins and the Celtics, and as well as, you know, get back into talking about the playoffs and whatnot. But this is something that we have to talk about. I'm not coming to you as a troll. I'm not coming to you as a honk or a homer or anything like that. But if you were to tell me that you weren't concerned about the Red Sox dreadful start to the 2022 season, I'm calling you a liar at this point. There's no getting around or denying the fact that the Boston Red Sox have played absolutely atrocious to start the 2022 season. And this is alarming for so many reasons. Number one, this is the same Red Sox team that were two wins away from going to the World Series. That is the fact. This is a team that was absolutely right there, toe-in-toe with the Houston Astros in the ALCS last October. And all that, I fell short. I think it's safe to say that Red Sox were pretty confident going into 2022 that they need to add a couple of pieces and that they will be well on their way. So far in 2022, the Red Sox have played their way to a last place standing in the American League East, which is in its right just stunning. Because if you told me that on May 9th, the Boston Red Sox would have a worse record than the Baltimore Orioles in the American League, let alone the American League East, I would have laughed at you and said, you're high. No, there's no way. But that is exactly the case. As of today, the Boston Red Sox are bottom dwellers in the American League East. They're 10.5 games behind the New York Yankees, who are absolutely rolling right now. They won today, apparently, 20-8. And someone told me recently, and it's an old adage, but it's turning out to be very true. You can't win the division in April, but you sure as hell can lose it. And it doesn't help matters at all that the Boston Red Sox are 10.5 games behind the Yankees in the American League East. So I'll pose you this question, Red Sox fans. At what point do you say it's no longer early? It's now time to be concerned and panic. what point has that hit for you yet? Some people have literally told me, well, I'm not worried about them yet. I won't worry about them until we get to June. You really want to wait until June until you get to that point in time where you're past Memorial Day weekend, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Memorial Day is the first, quote-unquote, flagpole of the Major League Baseball regular season. Where is your team on Memorial Day? Oftentimes than not, it has determined where this team, and when I say this team, I'm not talking about the Red Sox, but it depends on where your team is on Memorial Day. It's a pretty good indicator as to where they may or may not finish. And in this case, if you're the Boston Red Sox, Memorial Day is what? 2-3 weeks away? If not less than that? Yeah, 3 weeks away. And they are where they are. I'm not saying that things cannot change, because things can. Because I truly wonder, and I'm serious when I say this, I truly wonder if Trevor Story playing at Fenway Park or playing in Boston is having adverse effects on him as a player, as in comparison versus when he played in Denver for the Colorado Rockies. And you know what's wild? I actually was thinking about this earlier today. While I was sitting at a Chick-fil-A, eating a chicken sandwich and divulging in a strawberry milkshake, I was legitimately thinking about this. I was like, you know, I wonder if he's handling Boston well. Because if you've listened to this show before or for a while, as the show is about to be 3 years old at this station, that is, I have always believed that players that play elsewhere and come to Boston do not play well more than half the time, because this market is very demanding. It's a very intense market. It is not for everybody. And the idea that Trevor Story missed a media availability sure as hell did not sit well with the media at all. It's like, dude, this is not Denver. Welcome to Boston. You have responsibilities every single day to show up, regardless of whether you're playing well or you're struggling. You have a media availability. Come talk to the reporters. That's Boston. This is Boston. And I wonder, what has gone wrong for the Boston Red Sox so far in 2022? Let's talk about it. You can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. That's the number to call into the program. And I will say this. The Red Sox problems have not been specifically relegated to the pitching. The pitching haven't been the problem. The pitching I'm not worried about. Here's the problem. The offense. And I think that in itself is what's truly the most jarring about the 2022 Boston Red Sox. Because number one, if you are a Red Sox fan, and I'm sure all of you have recognized this already, and if you haven't, welcome to the rude awakening that is what I'm about to drop on you. Every player outside of Xander Bogaerts is batting 194. Let me rephrase that. If you take Xander Bogaerts out of the lineup, the team is hitting 194 as a unit. That is scary bad. That's scary bad. Last time I checked, I can't recall a team being this bad 30 games into the season. Again, we know that things can change. But I sincerely can't help but wonder, at this moment in time, at this point in juncture, is this really the Boston Red Sox team that Chaim Bloom expected to put together going into the season? Because I'm sure he believed that this was going to be a pretty darn good Boston Red Sox team expected to compete again in 2022. Yet, here we are on May 9th. The team is 10-19, and they're 10.5 games out of first place in the division. And here's the thing that also stands out to me. The Red Sox, they are 0-6 in extra inning games. And that in itself is stunning. I'm stunned that the Red Sox have not won a game in extra innings just as of yet. And I get that the Boston Red Sox are, they are like basically meddling in muck right now in terms of the record and so far. But for them to have struggled in extra innings as much as they have so far in this portion of the season, it truly is stunning that Alex Cora has not been able to figure it out as of yet. This is a quote from Chaim Bloom in which that stood out to me, in which he spoke to the Boston Herald's Steve Hewitt over the weekend. Chaim Bloom said, quote, "We've dug ourselves a hole, there's no question. We haven't played well. Panic isn't going to help. We have to play better. We put ourselves in this situation, but if we're going to get out of it, we're going to get out of it by doing those things that we know we can do well. There's a difference between urgency and panic, and I think we certainly need to show more urgency than we hoped we would be feeling at this point in the season. But this game isn't going to reward panic." Unquote. So, I get what Chaim Bloom is saying. Panic does you absolutely no good, which is true if you're a baseball player. But if you're the Boston sports media in this city and in this market, yes, panic has begun to settle in. Because if anything, I will tell you is this. We're going to throw out 2020. That was an absolute crapshoot year for the Red Sox. I will admit that. That was. But let's go back to 2019. When the Red Sox started 6-13 and never was able to find their footing for the remaining of that season. I've said it before that getting off to a good start for the Boston Red Sox is going to be incredibly important. I've said it. And in 2022, it has proven that yet again. Get out to a good start is going to be so important. Why? Because if you remember, and I talked about it before the regular season began, this is a division that you can ill afford to fall behind when you got the Tampa Bay Rays, the New York Yankees, and as well as the Toronto Blue Jays in your division. All three of those teams, I expect to be contending for a playoff spot in October, whether you're a division winner or a wild card winner. I said it from beginning of the season, and the fact that this team is where they are, I think if you're a Red Sox fan, if you're a Red Sox Nation, this is the time to worry. I know the focus right now is on the Bruins and the Celtics playoff. I get that because I am with you. I'm not even paying a whole lot of attention or investing so much of my energy into baseball just yet. Because for said reason, Bruins and Celtics are in the playoffs right now. But I did tweet out recently, if you're not following me on Twitter, follow me at Shukri Writes, at Shukri Writes, that's Shukriwrights. I'm approaching 10,000 followers, by the way. So help me get there, folks. I said this, that if you are the Red Sox, this is not the time to be meddling, because right now everybody is focused on the Bruins, they're focused on the Celtics. The Red Sox are awfully lucky, because if this was June and this team is still, 13 games out of first place, you better believe that the ire of this city will be felt. And Chaim Bloom, I think for the first time, would have to be on the hot seat. And I don't think that's such a far-fetched thing to say. It isn't. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program. We are going to take a break. It is now 6:20 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:20 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, I want to switch back to some playoff discussion between the Bruins and the Celtics. So I'll be taking your phone calls as I talk about the Bruins and Celtics as we advance through the second hour of the program. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. Back here with you, back and better than ever. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touchfeed Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Vicky, how are you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tush Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'm here with you for another half hour up until around 7 o'clock, but we are going to go to the phone line now, and we do have a caller from Chelmsford. Pardon me, I'm having a brain fart. Please state your first name and where you're calling from.
It's Cam, Sue. How you doing?
Cam, what's going on?
I know
who you are. I'm just having a brain fart. It's been a long hour and a half, for God's sake, so please forgive me.
No problem. Hey, we're happy that the Bruins have opened up from their brain farts, huh? At least right now.
You can say that again, but I'm telling you, come game five, they're going to have another pest to deal with on their hands, and that's going to be Tony DeAngelo, but go ahead.
Hey, we'll cross that bridge. Hey, I'm happy he didn't get suspended. It was only a fine. Keep him in the lineup. We'll burn him all night long. I got to say, Shoot, I'm very proud. No matter what happens the rest of the series, I'm very proud of this team. Down 2-0. We know what the stats in the regular season were, 16-1 outscored, and they opened up getting outscored 10-3 in the postseason, hostile environment. They really didn't really have much for the Hurricanes the first two games, and I was coming in the impression heading into game three that you win a game, that's fine, you know?
Right.
Sometimes it's just not meant to be. And I said that, I've been saying all year that Carolina was the one team I didn't want to face. Well, they got the win. And then you wake up early Saturday or Sunday morning, whatever it was, and you turn on the pregame and they say, Charlie McAvoy's out, Josh Brown's in. And I was starting to get worried, and it was like, well, good thing we won that one game. You know, it's not finished if we lose tonight. They really showed what they were made of. They really did. They started slow like they have all series, but
yeah,
they were able to get in the game. You know, Jake DeBrus finally got his goal. He's been probably our best player outside of the top six the entire series. And just I've always been a big hater, as it were, about Bruce Cassidy's moves. I got to give him his credit. He's been as good as he can be, putting in Swayman. I'm not sure if Ullmark really was the problem, but that woke him up. You know, new goaltender, maybe a new lease on how to play the game. Mm-hmm. Chris Wagner, unbelievable. He goes out. I don't think he's been knocked off his feet once. He knocks those canes around.
He's basically been like a cannon out of the chute. Like, especially like giving that, like when I was at the game on Friday night in game three. Like, that's something that really stood out to me, was the energy that he brought, and it was very much infectious throughout the entire lineup.
Absolutely. A lot of people have been comparing this team to the 2011 team. And, you know, the last time the Bruins came from 2-0 down to win a series in 2011, they did it twice.
Yeah.
But in a sense, I'm not saying that he's the exact same player, but it was a lot like when Sean Thornton was putting...
I remember that. Great point.
Three. Mm-hmm. Came out on the ice first shift. I think he hit Daniel. Then he hit Hendrick, and the crowd just came out of its seats. And I could tell when he came in for Game Three. I was watching on TV. Canes went up early, and it was very quiet. I could just tell that you guys just wanted to cheer something, get out of your seats, and get excited for something. And he set the tone, and the team eventually got going. You know, with Rod Brind'Amour's comments yesterday, I'm interested to see how the game will be refereed. Carolina in the playoffs is a tough place to play anyway, mm-hmm. but if they're playing their best hockey of the season right now, if they can get it done tomorrow, it's looking really, really nice.
Absolutely, and I definitely appreciate the phone call and your thoughts on the Bruins series so far as we shift to a pivotal Game 5 tomorrow night down in Carolina. And one thought that I will also add in there as well is – I do think that the Josh Brown effect definitely played a role in yesterday's win, because we talked about how in games one and two, it just seemed like the Bruins were being out-muscled. They didn't have any sort of answer in terms of the physicality. And what you saw from Josh Brown was that being the reason why the Bruins acquired him from Ottawa, was specifically for his physicality in exchange for Zach Senyshyn.
Also, shoot, just this is a bit of a stupid stat, but I love my baseball stats, as it were.
Sure.
Josh Brown, he played Carolina twice on Ottawa and beat him, and then he came last night. So he's beaten Carolina three times this year, where the Bruins hadn't until postseason this year.
Wow.
Maybe he knows how they play the game. Maybe he's just been lucky, but it's definitely a stat when you beat someone three times in a season, especially with how good Carolina's been.
Exactly.
Maybe he's figured something out.
Now, that could be it, too. So I do think that his presence on the ice definitely has made a difference in terms of the bottom pairing for the defenseman and whatnot. And Cam, thank you so much for calling into the program. Sincerely appreciate it, as always.
Thank you for having me, Shook. I always look forward to talking to you.
My pleasure. And I will also say that one thing that I look forward to in terms of Game 6 tomorrow night, and that is how do the Bruins handle the first 7 minutes of Game 5 on the road? Because obviously we know that the Bruins, they did not play well in Games 1 and 2 at Carolina for a reason that we talked about in the first segment of the show, which is, an hour and a half ago. But I do think that home ice has definitely served both teams well. But I do think that if the Bruins or the Hurricanes are going to win this series, that one of the teams are going to have to steal a game on the road. If the Bruins are going to win this series, they're going to have to win on the road. That's a fact. Let's say, for example, they win tonight and they come back home to TD Garden and they win in Game 6. Or if they got to go back on the road and play in a potential Game 7, that's what they have to do. Carolina, they're going to have to go back on the road for Game 6. And if they're going to win the series, they're going to have to win a game on the road. As if they lose tomorrow night, and obviously a whole bunch of other variables that we're not going to spend the rest of our time getting into, but you all get the point. So, with all of that being said, this Game 5, I am really curious to see also, and I also should add, that I hadn't talked about at any given point during this show, and that is that Jeremy Swayman is going to be playing in his first NHL playoff road game. We saw how he performed on home ice in games 3 and 4. The test is going to be, how does he handle the pressure on the road? That in itself is what we're about to find out. So with all of that being said, if you got any thoughts on the Bruins playoff game, Game 5 tomorrow night, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program. Coming up next, we're gonna talk about the Celtics Game 4. I got some more thoughts on that on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Sus Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. It is now 6:40 p.m. Eastern Time here in Medford on Greater Boston Metro Area. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We talked about the Bruins playoffs during the last segment, and we also talked about it in the first segment of the show as well. I talked about the Red Sox early season struggles during the first segment of the 6 o'clock hour. I also talked about the Celtics' upcoming game four tonight, in about 50 minutes, less than an hour from now. So all of that is on the table, but I figured that I'll spend the last few minutes talking about the Celtics game four and have some more thoughts, developing opinions on this important matchup for the Boston Celtics, and that is the importance of the bench during this playoff run for the Boston Celtics, and especially for Game 4 tonight, where I do think that the bench has been absolutely huge for the Boston Celtics throughout this entire playoff run. But I think it's going to be even more important tonight, especially as we begin to talk about how the Celtics team is going to tie up the series at 2 games apiece as the series shifts back to Boston for Game 5, which will be on Wednesday night. So the one thing that I do think about in terms of the bench, and that is the fact that I really do believe that guys like Grant Williams, guys like, another one that comes to mind for me when you talk about like the bench in itself is Peyton Pritchard. Those guys are going to be really important as the series goes on, especially when the Celtics, they're making their they're making the substitution as well as Daniel Tice. Those guys are going to be incredibly important. And you need Derek White to continue to step up, because there was a stretch during the series where he did not play well. He did not play up to the same level that he played during the Brooklyn series. And you need Derek White to step up huge. And you need guys like Theis to step up and contribute as well. And we talked about we talked about Pritchard as well, and especially when he's going, he's really a big factor for this team. So I am curious to see the role that this bench will play in this game. Most notably Grant Williams, because I do think Grant Williams defensively, and you can even say Robert Williams as well, but I think Grant Williams defensively just might be the best answer the Celtics have against Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think that's a wild thing to even think of, or even a wild thought. And that's not taken away from Time Lord whatsoever, because we obviously know what Time Lord means to this team, especially as a center. But I do wholeheartedly believe that if you are the Boston Celtics, outside of your stars, obviously with Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart, but I do think your bench has to come up huge, because there will be times that I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks, most notably, they will in fact be aggressive in trying to shut down Tatum and Brown, which they're not going to be able to do that entirely and effectively unless the Celtics perpetually shoot themselves in the foot, which I don't see happening. But you need your bench. Your bench has to come up huge in this game for the Celtics team, that I do think they realize now that they are going to be in a dogfight. And I also believe that this series, if they win tonight, this series is going to Game 7. There's no question in my mind about that, because of the back and forth nature and the sheer physicality of this series thus far, and the way that the referees have called it. Now, I'm not sitting here, complaining about the referees or anything like that. No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is talking about, because the referees have impacted this series in a way that calls are made. That factors into things. I really believe that. So what I'm saying is, if the Celtics win tonight, don't be surprised if this series goes to 7 games. Don't. And I do think that it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But Game 4, as I said earlier in the first hour, that is, I expect Jason Tatum to have a massive bounce-back game. Because the truth is, the Celtics, they sabotaged their defensive prowess in Games 1 and 3. Turnovers, which has been a problem, that's something that they have been able to force, they have shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. And that is something that head coach Ime Udoka has talked about in his press conferences at one point, in which that the turnovers that the Celtics are doing onto themselves has killed this team. That is true. Now, we can sit here and moan and groan about what went wrong in the last 4.6 seconds left of Game 3. That's easy to do. But if we're going to take a harder look at this team and where this team is heading, You got to look at what this team did not do well. The truth is, the Bucks, they have scored more points on fast breaks in the third quarter than the Celtics did score. That's number one. And then on top of that, the Bucks, they have they had an 18-0 edge in transition, which was created by what? Bad mistakes, bad shots, and bad shot selection. Let's call a spade a spade. So a lot of these self-inflicted wounds, that if the Celtics can clean it up, they should be in good position tonight. If not, this team will in fact go down 3-1 to the Milwaukee Bucks, the defending NBA champions, heading into game 5. So that is something that I do think that the Celtics are going to have to clean it up, and clean it up fast. Especially when you're going up against Giannis. Because cuffed up balls, long rebounds, and errant shots, that's not going to get the job done. It's just not. You're helping the defending champions doing all of that. Now, Coach Ime Udoka told reporters yesterday, he said, quote, "We kind of aided them. If we keep them in the half court, we feel really good about our team defense and individual defenses on him. But we kind of opened the floodgates in that third quarter. Gotta get him going. He becomes more aggressive in the half court." And that is precisely what I was pointing out just a few moments ago. You can't give a team like Milwaukee opportunities to score, especially when it comes to bad shot selection and as well as points on fast breaks. That is one surefire way to get absolutely blown out of the water if you're playing at an A level, not a B plus or a B minus or a C plus level, no. And it also should inspire you that Milwaukee did not play a great game in game 3. They did not. They're not getting scotch off easy here. But the fact that they did not play their best game and the Celtics were in that game in which that they should have stolen game 3 should give you confidence that if they're able to clean up their errors and their errant ways, they should in fact be able to tie this series up at 2 games apiece tonight. If you got thoughts, we got a few minutes left here on this program. Call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program. We got a few seconds left before we got to go to one last break before we wrap up the show. And that is, I do think that the difference in the series so far, honestly, if you take a deeper look in terms of the Celtics and the Bucks, one deciding factor that has aided the Bucks in their games 1 in 3 wins, fast break points. It is, because Milwaukee has had 28 of them in games 1 and then 21 in game 3. And then they only had 6 points on the fast break in that game 2 loss, in which they lost 109-86. So the point is, if you are not turning over the ball, which is creating these fast break opportunities for the Milwaukee Bucks, you should be in good shape. But if you are turning over the ball, you're just making life so much easier for a Bucks offense that has been opportunistic at times during this series. It is time to go for a music break. Coming up next, I'm going to give you my final thoughts on this Monday afternoon as we get set for game 4 between the Celtics and Bucks in about 40 minutes. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free from Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Too much of heaven can bring you underground. Heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven, a life is all hellbound. Heaven, the killer makes no sound. Too much of heaven.
Heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Final thoughts brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Wright. Coming up next after this show is going to be Bird Bag from 7 till 8 p.m. and followed by Great Songs for Dads at 8 p.m. So keep it locked in for some great shows coming up after this one here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Quickly, Bruins, Celtics, both facing must-win games in their respective series. As the week progresses, it is going to be fascinating to see how both teams respond to must-win games. We saw the Bruins bounce back in a big way, given how this series started, to tie things up at two games apiece with a pivotal Game 5 tomorrow night in Carolina. And then you got the Celtics in the most important game of this season so far up until this point, with a pivotal Game 4 that is going to be getting underway in a little more than a half hour from now. So I'm curious to see how it will all play out. And let's see if the stars can be stars tonight for the Boston Celtics and Tatum and Brown and Smart. And can you get any contributions from the bench? And I think that they will, from Pritchard and Derek White. And I think that that's going to be pretty important to see what happens in this game. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Follow me on Twitter at Shukri Wright, at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S, for the latest updates as to when I will be on the airwaves here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing off. It's been a blast being back here with you, doing a full two-hour show with you today. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Have a good one, everybody.